I just acknowledge country if you missed it. Thank you. This panel is an independent panel of experts appointed in various ways through government legislation to deal with development applications within certain categories. And we are not members of council. Each person has made a declaration that they have no interest in any of the matters that are before the panel for determination today. The proceedings will be that the matters will be called in accordance with the order in the agenda. Those persons who have been registered to speak will be asked to come forward to the microphone. They will be given 3 minutes, and having regard to the number of speakers, obviously that control will need to be enforced as best it can be. Once the speakers have finished, there may be an opportunity for a question from a member of the panel. And at the determination of the submissions and any dealing with any questions, the panel will, if practicable, as it's required to do at the Inner West Council, will announce its decision. The decision will be confirmed by the publication of the minutes on the council website as soon as practicable from tomorrow on. My name is Angus Talbot. I'm the chairman of the panel, and my background in relation to these types of matters is that I practiced as a solicitor and a barrister to a very large extent in the area of local government planning, and since retirement from the bench I've been a member of this panel and several others, and that's my background insofar as it relates to the matters that are before the panel. I'll ask the other members of the panel to identify themselves. I forgot to mention that I was a judge of the Land and Environment Court for 15 years, so that added a bit to the CV in this area, I would imagine. But I'll start from my left and ask the individual panel members to identify themselves and to give you also their short background in relation to matters relevant to this panel. On the left, Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. Mary Lynn Taylor. I'm an expert panel member here today. I'm a town planning lawyer and I sit as the chair of both state and other local panels.
Mr. McEnany.
And my name is John McEnany and I'm an architect and town planner and an ex-councillor with the City of Sydney.
Mr. Hawkes.
My name is Kenneth Hawke. I'm the community member of the panel. I've lived in the Inner West area for the last 45 years, and I worked in local government planning for 40 years.
Thank you. The first item on the agenda is an internal matter relating to delegation by the panel. It's a formal matter, and the panel has agreed to implement the instrument of delegation that appears in Appendix A at page 12 of the business papers, and that's the resolution of the panel. Item 2 has been withdrawn, so there's nothing to be said about it. Item 3 deals with the property in Smith Street, Summer Hill. The panel visited the site today. The proposal is for alterations and additions to an existing dwelling house, including a rear two-storey addition and garage. The panel gave consideration to the report that has been provided and identified the relevant areas, particularly in relation to the proposed landscaping. And the panel was satisfied after dealing with the council officer's report and its own observations that the approval should be forthcoming in accordance with the recommendation, and the determination of the panel is as per the recommendation as it appears on page 50 of the agenda papers. Moving on to item number 4, which relates to the property 109 to 111 Parramatta Road, Camperdown. A number of people listed to speak in relation to that matter, and the first person that I call upon to do so is Josh Martin. Thank you, Mr. Martin. You have 3 minutes. Thank you.
This one? There. Thank you very much. I'm a resident here to speak on behalf of the 10 plus objectors in relation to this development, and I'd like to state the majority of our concerns have been ignored, citing precedents as the main defence. The other objectors apologise, but this new process puts residents at a disadvantage to developers due to this meeting being held in office hours, not after hours like it used to be, and therefore people cannot attend even though they would like to be here. I would note that this development is being recommended for approval even though it grossly exceeds the height, bulk and FSR controls based on positive precedents. I would like to argue positive precedents for a few minor conditions in return. Firstly, that demolition and construction access is banned from Victory Lane, as positive precedents have been set in the neighbouring development by the same developer. There's a lot of history to this, and I urge you to look into it. After a long-fought battle that went all the way to the Land and Environment Court, we won this condition for 119 to 125 Parramatta Road, only for the developer to ignore it. The street was damaged, the trees were damaged, and property was damaged before council shut it down and the builder was fined. At the second neighbouring site, currently under construction, we also won this condition, only for the developer to seek to reverse it. The result, damage to the street, damage to the water pipes, resulting in our water being shut off for hours. As council well knows, this current site has seen numerous severe breaches in the past 6 months, resulting in heavy fines. All levels of council, all the way to the CEO, are aware of the serious issues involved. If council and the developer had listened to us in the first place, this could have been avoided, and this is what we are asking for now. Do not use Victory Lane as access. It cannot handle this level of work. It's dangerous, reckless and damaging, and yet it's simple to control. Please impose this condition. Secondly, the traffic controls for this development are not demonstrative. They do not take into account the current build and the numerous additional cars that will result from this building. Nor was the traffic report done in peak periods, as was evidenced in these photos from yesterday, which I'm happy to table. This happens every weekday, twice a day, and is not taken into account in the traffic report. Our second request is a pretty simple one. The New South Wales Office of the Environment recommends building hours be from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. This is consistent with the WestConnex dive site across the road and the neighbouring council. Development is never going to stop, so therefore it needs to be managed in a balanced way with consideration given to all. If 8 a.m. is good enough for Sydney City Council, it should be good enough for the Inner West. At a recent meeting with the CEO, Michael Deegan, of the council, we raised this and he indicated to us that it was worth looking at in line with the state-based guidelines. Finally, although some effort has gone into addressing our privacy and noise concerns, we ask for one further condition, that the proposed shrubbery on level 1 is established greenery to a height of 1.6 metres, and yet again I cite the precedent of the frosted glass privacy screens in the neighbouring development to the same height. This is simple and would be a win-win for the existing residents and future residents of this building. So three things: standard 8 a.m. start on Saturdays, no access from Victory Lane for demolition and construction, and established shrubbery to a height of 1.6 metres on level 1, citing positive precedents from previous developments. Thank you.
Just a minute, Mr. Martin. I'll see if there's any questions. Mr. McEnany.
Just a question. It's the level facing the lane that you're talking about, the
correct
landscape. So
yes,
that would be 1.6 metre high shrubbery, in effect, or landscaping to a height of 1.6 metres.
Yeah, consistent
metres
with the frosted glass privacy screens on the neighbouring buildings, which was a condition we sort of fought for and won over many years. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Martin.
Any questions on Victory Lane? No.
No questions on Victory Lane. I think that's fully understood. Mr. Siulos and possibly Mr. Karavanis together, is that so? All right, well, no doubt you can fill the void.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, your 3 minutes starts now. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you. I simply would like to put on record that we're in support of the recommendation for approval by the council officer and are available for to answer any questions if possible, if required.
He's the architect.
He's the architect.
Mary, have you got anything you want to ask?
Well, what do you say about the suggestions that have come from the neighbour?
The 1.6 metre shrubbery is not an issue. Yes, we agree with that. We would have no problem with providing advanced landscaping, so the screening is there from the onset. The hours of operation at 8 a.m. start on a Saturday, I do not think that anyone would object to that.
Closing at 1 p.m.
I don't think anyone would object to that as well. The only difference is that if the hours were longer, it would be finished quicker. But I don't think on a Saturday anyone would object to finishing at 1 p.m. The only difficulty from the statements from the neighbours is the issue of access for demolition and construction through Victory Lane.
And Mr. Soulos, have you been involved in the other property developments in that lane?
I designed 119 to 125, but was not involved in the construction or the detailing of that particular project. I designed the property next door, but my client on-sold it and someone else has redesigned that one and submitted that one.
So as far as you're concerned, there's no reason why we shouldn't impose the conditions suggested by the neighbour?
In which condition is that?
In relation to the use of Victory Lane for construction purposes.
Well, the only issue would be is whoever is to develop this particular building would find it difficult to operate purely from Parramatta Road. I believe that's my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Maybe they have to make an application. Any further questions? No. Now, there's two conditions to be added. Where are these conditions going in? Oh, yeah, we should have the shrubbery and we should have the Saturday morning hours. But what about Victory Lane?
Well, both have been done.
I can't hear you.
They've been successful.
Council officer about the technicality of imposing conditions in relation to the use of Victory Lane.
The current.
It's all right. It's okay. We'll come back to you if we need to. Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Perhaps we can stand that one down for a minute and we'll find out what those conditions were.
All right. We're just having an inquiry made that may assist us to reach a final decision in relation to the conditions. So the determination in relation to item number 4 is for the moment deferred to later in the meeting when we have that information. Moving on to item number 5... that relates to the boarding house development in Holt Street, Stanmore. The first person who's listed to speak is Aldo Rizov.
Come here.
Thank you, Mr. Rizov.
Just press the button.
Good afternoon. My name is Aldo Rizov and I am the owner of 135 Cavendish Street, Stanmore, which is directly at the rear of 16 Hull Street. 135 Cavendish Street is a single-storey building surrounded by numerous double-storey dwellings that consist of private residences, apartments and several boarding houses that have received or are pending DA decisions in recent times. I thus find it commendable that a number of novel aspects have been incorporated in the amended DA at 16 Hull Street, to which approval by consent may be granted. Despite the amended DA, non-compliance of FSR, parking, boarding houses, overdevelopment, landscape and open space issues still exist, and I'll leave that to the panel to resolve. To be fair, to the current developer, this compliance, non-compliance issues are not a direct consequence of the applicable DA, but rather to the local control and planning decisions in the past that opted for political expediency in difficult circumstances, which once condoned become irreversible. Thus, we as a community are duly bound to remind the incumbents to be more diligent in performing the duties to which they are elected, to use the tools at hand that we, the public, rely on, and not regress to excessive use of political expediency. However, there is one aspect of the amended DA which concerns me greatly. This relates to the ground floor communal living room, which affects visual privacy from the window overlooking into the private space of my property. The developers' and assessors' rationale to planting shrubs on the boundary to act as a screen is insufficient to address the issues of visual privacy. However, in my opinion, more needs to be done in this particular case. A shrub planting will only reduce the existing limited solar access into the ground floor communal living room and to its open private space. Overshadowing will reduce the amenities to 16 Holt Street and will not provide the intended visual privacy screening if the shrubs are of low stature. I suggest that Council may wish to impose a more environmental and permanent screening control action on the amended DA, namely that the window itself be fitted with either opaque glass or suitable louvers to allow direct sunlight into the room and its open private space, resulting in acceptable and permanent visual privacy to residents of both properties and better amenities to 16 Holt Street. Finally, I'm sure that residents from time to time make sensible objections with appropriate suggestions that hopefully progress DAs to consent, in which case those suggestions could be used constructively by developers and council to ensure that the newly implemented processes are made to work better for all concerned parties and that the community's needs are kept paramount. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Rizzo. I think that your observations about political expediency are well covered by the present system where the panel...
I hope so.
The panel has no political input whatsoever.
I'm glad that that's the case, but...
That's the point of the system.
Good.
It's been taken out of the political arena. Questions, Mrs. Taylor?
Mr. Rizov, we visited the site and observed your property and the proposed development in relation to your property. I wondered if you realised that the window you're concerned about in the common living area is a high-level window.
That's correct.
And was that not satisfactory to
you? No, it's not, because it's still overlooking into my backyard.
Right. The idea of a high-level window is that you can't look down.
Well, it's not that high. It's not that high, because the floor level indicates it's about 1 metre off ground level. And if you allow for 1.5 metres or 2 metres for a person standing at the window, they would overlook, even if the fence is 2.1 metres high.
Right, thank you. Now, you do understand that it is proposed to add to the fence by a trellis?
Yes, I understand that. Yes. That brings the fence up to 2.1 metres high.
Right.
And that is still overlooking issue.
My concern in particular for the overlooking would be from the stairs and the deck.
No, that's not the issue. The issue is the window.
Right, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. McInerney?
No, thanks, Mr.
Yeah. Applicant?
Mr. Triona Supit. Thank you.
It's actually Dr. Trina Supit.
Oh, I'm sorry, Doctor.
It's okay. My name's Trina Supit. My husband and I have been living in 12 Holt Street for the last 42 years. And I just want to mention a few things about number 16, which the former home of the Methodist minister for Newington College, a beautiful, iconic old heritage house, probably one of the best ones in Stanmore. I'm concerned about the population density and intensity of population pressure that all those residents going into that house, there's going to be 20 people able to live there, but you can't make sure that there'll only be one person in each room or only two in the double rooms. Because next door to mine, they've approved 13 rooms, and that means there's going to be a large number of people. Parking is going to be a problem. The other thing is that I wanted to speak about was the sheer bulk of the property. There's green space there now where some of the tenants actually have gardens and plant vegetables. That's going to be used up by buildings. And my concern is that apart from acknowledging some of the heritage features, the new owners have pulled out the windows and replaced them with, they were double-hung wooden sash cord windows, and they've been replaced by aluminium double doors at the front. So it's about the intensity of development, all the people living there, the heritage values, the parking, and the lack of green space. In Stanmore, we need more green space. There are so many infills in the area. You can't go up in Stanmore. You can only use up the backyards and the side yard, and that's what people are doing, unfortunately. And the real shame about this development is that the people that were living there, that was a real community before, they've all moved up because they can't afford the new rents. But it was a community. They used to have Christmas together. That's all been destroyed. So I guess it's one of regret, and because this is a beautiful heritage building. Thank you. I think they're aiming at a different class of tenant. The rents have gone up to 250. The people that were living there before couldn't afford them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm making a comment about extra rooms, but you know, it's not going to get anywhere.
Mr. Hawke has a question for you, Doctor.
No, it's okay.
No, he's cancelled.
Right, well,
that's okay.
Just confirm. Go straight ahead.
Yeah.
Marilyn, are you happy to continue?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The applicant?
We leave the screen on.
Sorry?
Leave the screen on?
No.
Well, that actually screens that window as well.
Could I ask Mr. Rysov a question? When we visited the site this morning, we were concerned about the potential overlooking of your back garden from the exit to the laundry and the steps down. If you let me finish. So what we were proposing to actually look at that was a 1.8-metre screen on the side of those stairs. That largely is in front of that window, that highlight window that you're talking about. So the two things together, there being a highlight window and a screen on the western side of the stairs... Okay, thank you.
And I think the screen should be higher.
Sorry, previously you said that you didn't want a screen.
Who? You, I said that.
Yeah.
No, I said that there should be consideration given to an opaque
glass. No, yes, but...
Or a movement system so that there is no overlooking my backyard. Mm.
So that's a treatment of the window rather than an...
This is an application to demolish part of the premises and carry out ground floor and first floor alterations and additions to a boarding house. The proposal complies with the prescribed height limit but is 27% over the prescribed floor space ratio. The applicant has lodged a clause 4.6 justification for varying this development standard. Given that the amended application provides no additional rooms, the panel supports this variation given the additions are to improve residential amenity and do not result in amenity impacts on adjoining properties. The panel's noted that the number of rooms available will not be increased in the amended plans, and that two communal common room kitchens are to be provided together with additional bathroom and laundry facilities. A comprehensive plan of management is also proposed, and council will undertake annual inspections of boarding houses. The panel did have some concerns regarding the potential for overlooking from the deck and stairs, but given that the adjacent owner has said that he's more concerned about the highlight window in the ground floor communal room, we agreed that we'll address that. With an additional condition, which would be 5A, which would be to make the highlight window in the ground floor communal room of translucent glass.
That's a new condition.
That's a new condition. Which,
if you get it down, here it comes.
Yeah.
Here it comes to make the highlight window in the ground floor communal line of translucent.
That's it.
Yes.
Okay. Given that the proposal maintains the existing number of rooms, provides additional communal spaces and bathrooms, which will improve amenity for residents, whilst not resulting in any significant impacts on the amenity of the adjoining premises, the panel supports the clause 4.6 variations in the floor space ratio and endorses the recommendation outlined on page 242 of the agenda to approve the application, subject to the additional condition 5A.
Moving on to item number 6, that relates to the property 40 Cobar Street, Dulwich Hill. And the first person who is listed to speak in relation to that property is Terry Sozomenu. Thank you.
I can speak for my client, Terry Sozomenu. I'm Jeff Mead, the next speaker, probably on your list.
Oh, you're Jeff Mead, are you?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Turn it on. What did you just say?
I'm the consultant town planner for the project, Jeff Mead from Planning Ingenuity. I don't have much to say at all.
Just let me understand then. I see. Yes, you're the speaking on behalf of the applicant.
That's correct. Yes. Yes, Mr. Sozomenu is my client.
Is Sozomenu the applicant?
He is.
Effectively. All right. No. Savides is on behalf of the applicant. How's he relate to you?
He's the architect and he's not here.
Who's Mr. Krupinski?
It's me.
Is he?
That's the new chair. That's
sorry?
Not this application.
It's
a different one.
He's
for the next
one. Oh, yes. All right. Okay. It's very difficult to get across a page and I do apologise to you, Mr. Krupinski, to think that you might have to speak on another development. Yes, all right then. You're speaking for effectively for the owner.
That's correct.
Thank you.
I don't have much to say at all. We've read the development assessment report and agree with the assessment therein.
All right.
The recommendation.
What if I told you the panel does too?
That's good. Well, I'll leave it there. Thank you. we don't object to any of the conditions.
All right, yes, the panel has visited the site and inspected the area today, read the reports, dealt with the submission that was received, and the panel agrees that in the circumstances where the FSR has been reduced, it's largely within the existing approved envelope, 7 additional car spaces, residential occupancy is reduced, no real additional impacts arising from the modification. It's agreed that the application should be approved, and the panel adopts the recommendation as it is printed at page 338 of the agenda papers. Thank you. Now moving on to agenda item number 7, which is the next book. Can we go back? You in a position to go back, Mrs. Taylor, to item in Parramatta Road, number 5, was it?
Number four.
Yes. Thank you.
In this matter, Chair, we note that the applicant's representative has agreed that a condition sought by the neighbours in relation to landscaping could be added to this consent, if there were to be a consent. We also note that the applicant representative agreed that the hours on a Saturday morning could be 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and the council has advised us that that has indeed occurred on other developments in that street and has been slightly successful. And so I would suggest we would add a condition changing the hours of work on Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the matter of stating that there is to be no use of Victory Lane during the build in this area. And I don't think that we can follow that suggestion because of the requirements of not allowing much use of Parramatta Road by the government department in charge of the roads, and that reducing the hours on the Saturday may go some way towards helping with the congestion, at least on a Saturday in the lane, and otherwise it will have to be left to the council to deal with any non-compliances with conditions in relating to use of Victory Lane. So I recommend that we follow the council recommendation for approval, subject to those 2 extra conditions.
You're happy with that?
Yep.
Yes, it's the panel has had a previous discussion about it, and that the panel is unanimous that the decision be made in accordance with what Mrs. Taylor has just indicated. If she could now formally resolve that the application be approved subject to the conditions. Saturday works to be limited to the hours 8 a.m. and 1 p.m. That's one additional condition. And then there's the landscaping condition. Is there already a landscaping condition about the height of the landscaping?
I think this was new landscaping.
What's the number?
In this matter, Chair, this is a modification application.
Yes, it is.
And the report shows that the manner in which assessment should be undertaken in the modification application has been correct, and for that reason it also underlines the fact that the modification does not bring up a requirement for a change to the work being done in Victory Lane.
We just need to get a height on that, the landscaping, the upper level.
1.6 metres.
To a height of 1.6 metres was suggested.
Be established to a height of 1.6 metres. That's a condition. The landscaping, which elevation is it? Was it southwest? The south. The landscaping along the southern elevation boundary be maintained at a level of at least 1.6 metres. That's satisfactory, Mrs.
Yes, thank you very much.
Are you just happy with that?
Yes, Mr. Chair, yeah. There was a comment made on the future strategic planning of the area.
Yes, Mr. Well, just a bit of a resolve. So that the panel's resolving in accordance with the recommendation, subject to those additional conditions.
Yes.
Unanimous decision?
Yes.
Thank you. In addition to that decision, Mr. McEnany wants to make an observation to the council and its officers in relation to future planning for this area.
Mr. Chair, I think I might have it on the screen.
Input signal not found. Check the video cable.
Display's
going to sleep.
Not much we can do about that, Mr. Chair. I can read it out if necessary.
Read it out.
The additional comment, Mr. Chair or Chair, is that is in the at the bottom of the current panel, and I'll just read it through for the listeners. The panel has approved this application, but would ask Council's Group Manager of Strategic Planning that in the making of any new LEP now underway, the current apparent confusion in height controls along Parramatta Road, particularly in this area, needs to be resolved. And Mr. Chair, I would add that as a note to the decision.
And it's a note that the panel endorses unanimously. Moving on now to item number 7. That relates to 11 to 13 Dibble Avenue, Marrickville. The first person listed to speak, much to his relief, is that it's now in relation to the right development, is Mark Krupinski. Thank you, Mr. Krupinski. Yes, press till you get a red light.
In the front. That's the back. Go to the front.
Okay.
Yes. Your good 3 minutes will start now.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a local resident of Marrickville. I've been living at 35 Riverside Crescent now for approximately 30 years, and I've seen a lot of construction done around the waterhole, where we actually had one recently next to us at 37 Riverside Crescent. My main concern is the 10-metre buffer zone between the pond and the new construction. I want to make sure that that's still adhered to, because the previous building at 37 wasn't. Apparently there was some kind of clause at the time it was going through, and they didn't have to adhere to the 10-metre buffer zone. And I'd like to know how it's actually measured as well. And the other concern I have is the height of the building. Looking at the diagrams and so forth, I just want a confirmation what the actual height is and with its, if it's in regulation. And my major concern was, during the destruction of the previous building at 37 Riverside Crescent, safety was not taken in place. Asbestos was removed without any safety gear. There was one gentleman doing it by himself with no safety gear at all. We had asbestos coming into our back garden and our yard. I brought it up in the council meeting and I said it shouldn't happen again, but I just want to make the assurance that it won't, because the pond is at this time recovering from all the damage that's occurred in the last 15 to 20 years of drought, ibises and so forth, and we had the soil moved down from the top of one of the areas as well, which caused a landslide and risked one of the buildings. Also, I just want to mention that parking at Dibble Avenue is also at a premium currently. They were my main concerns, and thank you for seeing me this morning as well. I was just watching you, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll just see if there's any questions. Yes, thank you.
Okay. What about the height regulation? Is that still in place on that building? Beautiful. And the other question was the 10-metre buffer zone. Sorry.
I've done a quick measurement of that, and it is 10 metres. That is the setback you're talking to the waterhole itself. Yes, the distance I've calculated quickly is 10 metres.
And that's not from low tide? Because the water level's right low right now. That's my main concern. Because when it's up high, it's up about another 2 metres.
At the time of the survey that this was taken.
Okay.
It's in fact slightly larger than 10 metres. Have you seen the application itself?
I have gone through it, but it was a bit ambiguous, a few things. I wasn't 100% sure, that's why I'm asking.
Shall I say it's a minimum of 10 metres? It is slightly larger than that.
Well, that's good to know.
Over the height in this statement, there's a floor of 4.3
height. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. But let me clarify what I said. Was the height. You asked for a height at the edge of the building.
The actual height.
And that's below the 14 metres. But the internal section of the building, which includes the roof garden and a lift overrun, which is literally in the centre of the development, is over the 14 metres by 3.4 metres.
3.4 metres.
Yes, but may I stress that it's very much in the centre, which is almost... you would not be able to see it from outside the building.
Okay. And how wide is that? Because when you say 3.4 metres, how wide is that?
It's a lift, literally a lift overrun with a...
17.4 metres against 14 metres of the standard, which is a 3.4 metre overrun.
Okay.
24.3%.
Yes.
And there's a 4.6 application to deal with, is that right?
Yes, for the width of the lift and an associated stair next to it.
Okay.
Again, this is fairly clearly laid out in the plans, and
that's
as
still
I
meets
say,
regular.
I don't think it would be perceivable from any of the surrounding areas.
And that still meets your criteria for 14 metres?
It meets the 14 at the edges, yes. Yes, there are several very good sketches. In fact, the drawings are quite illustrative of the issue.
Okay.
Yes, thank you, Mr.
Perhaps this could be shown to the objector.
All right, okay. Mr. Krupinski, Mrs. Taylor has suggested you might be helped by looking at this plan that the officer is showing you. While that's happening, perhaps we could call on Glynis Jones. Or Glynis Jones and Mr. Teresi. Is it a double act? No. Oh, no.
Quite the opposite.
I see. Well, it's Gavin Associates. Oh, that's Mr. Noon. I'm sorry. Oh, that's yes. Yes, thank you. I withdraw any association that was suggested you might have with Mr. Teresi, just in case the public record shows otherwise. Thank you.
The height and double block mass and style of this development is completely out of scale and character with the predominantly low-rise early 20th century architecture of the two streets, Dibble and Pilgrim Avenues, on which the development is situated and has the most impact on. While I understand that the east side of Dibble Avenue is zoned R1, no consideration in the report is given to the erosion of amenity the development has on the residents on the opposite side of the road, which is zoned R2, yet bears the detrimental effects of having the views of our open and pleasant streetscape erased by this massive built structure and our privacy eroded by our homes being overlooked by 12 balconies in what the document describes as passive surveillance of Dibble Avenue. Surely this development contravenes the intent of the Z2 zoning. Development will potentially have significant adverse effects on the local residents in terms of the increased traffic pressure in the narrow and already congested street. There's potential for at least twice the number of people to live in the development than parking provision allows. And while you can encourage people to take public transport, we know from experience in the street that most houses have 2 to 3 cars each and little street parking available, particularly in the evenings, and less when it rains, when Riverside Crescent people move their cars up into Dibble and Pilgrim. The proposed increase in residential density in the street situated near public transport does not protect residential amenity when the local public transport options of rail and light rail have already proven to be overburdened and unable to cope with the current levels of development. It's counterproductive to overdevelop an area when transport infrastructure is not there to support it. Dibble Avenue is effectively a one-way street with cars parked on both sides, leaving a single lane down the centre. Doesn't have much capacity for heavy traffic, so I'm concerned about the CTMP and how that will work in such a narrow, congested street. I know from apartment developments on Wardell and Ewart Street that half the road is often closed to allow for loading and unloading of construction vehicles, plant, cranes, concrete trucks and delivery. I just wonder how you're safely able to do this and ensure access for the residents of Dibble and Pilgrim Avenue. Will you close off the street to these when these activities happen? I just can't see how you can manage this safely in such a narrow street. Thank you.
This time it is.
One's the spokesman and the other's the brains, or the other way around?
I'm the spokesman and the brains is next to me, being the architect. thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm obviously supporting the recommendation of approval before the panel today. We've reviewed the conditions of the approval and we're happy with those conditions. Over the assessment of the application, we have made amendments to address Council's concerns, so the application before you is an application which we feel is well-founded. Probably a little bit important just to focus on the history, and I will touch on some of the objectors' comments, but there was a previous approval on number 13 by the current client with the same architect and myself involved as well as the consultant, and that was for an approval for a four-storey building which actually provided for 9 units. After that approval was issued, there was an opportunity to purchase the adjoining property being number 11, and therefore this application came about with the ability to acquire that property, and we've increased the number of apartments by an additional 7 in terms of through that amalgamation, and we feel that provided a better outcome given the fact to our north there's an existing 3-storey residential flat building over parking. The proposal has some minor breaches in terms of height and FSR, but we believe that they're well-founded as detailed in the report and happy to answer questions regarding that if needed. One of the things we focused on was the relationship of the water hole and how the building sat within the context. As part of the biodiversity strategy, we've actually put a green roof on the building, which enables wildlife to actually and birds to actually rest onto that garden area. So it's a dual use. It actually has been consciously designed to encourage birds, but at the same time, we actually have a small area set aside which could be used for passive recreation as well. Panel, that's pretty much what I wanted to say, but I might just touch base on some of the comments made by the objectors, if you wish. In terms of the setback, the building is actually set back 10 metres from our boundary. There's actually, the water line is actually further away from our boundary, so if you want to measure it from the water line, we're more than 10 metres from that water line, but our building is 10 metres from our boundary. In terms of height, the building does breach. The height control is 14 metres, which in normal mathematics equates to a 4-storey building. We do have a 4-storey building on the site. We do have flooding issues, which in terms of a constraint has obviously needed us to push the building up slightly, and we then have a breach of the lift overrun, which basically is to provide access to the communal area. There's no floor space which is above the actual the height control. Obviously, in terms of issues of asbestos, there's standard conditions, and obviously there's appropriate standards which we would need to abide by as part of that process. In terms of character, as I said, it's zoned R1, 14 metres. This area has been foreseen to be for residential flat buildings. There are other examples and newer examples in the area. So I guess in that regards, we feel we've dealt with character. Balconies facing the street, they are facing the street. The actual building is directly opposite the cul-de-sac, so there's no balconies which are facing the street which look directly into rear yards. They're actually down the actual cul-de-sac, which you would have been down at the site. And in terms of parking, the development is actually compliant with council's controls in terms of car parking numbers, and there's an appropriate condition in the consent which actually requires us to allocate the parking accordingly. And that includes motorbike and bicycle as well.
What is going to happen in the 10 metres from the end of your building to the water hole?
That's going to be landscaped. And that was one of the reasons we actually provided some communal open space on the top, because what it does, it provides an area where they can actually have a bit more active space, not that you're going to be kicking a ball up there, but where you can put a barbecue facility, whereas on the ground level, that's been designed to be densely landscaped. So there's a good interaction in terms of landscaping to the water hole. Because we have a landscape plan which shows detailed landscaping. Yes. To the rear, there's no fencing from
yeah.
Not to the rear, there's not, no.
Thank you.
Mr. McEnany has a question about a path.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to comment, by the way, that it's an admirable application in my mind, and admirably presented. But one thing stands out quite obviously is the overland flow,
yep.
Which is required presumably by council engineers. It stands out because it seems to be a bare piece of concrete. Is this your intention?
Sorry?
It stands out because it seems to be a bare strip of concrete, a 3 metre wide strip of concrete, literally through the middle of the site. Is that right?
That is council's, that's actually council's asset.
Oh, you're talking about the drainage easement.
You're talking about the drainage.
Sorry. So there's actually a 3 metre wide drainage easement. So in conversations and discussions with council, and actually the building on our north, which is the residential flat building, it actually has been built over council's easement. So
yeah.
In conversations, what we've designed the building to do is on the first floor, there's actually no connection. They're actually two-storey. Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Treese. I understand entirely what's happened here. But my question is, are you happy with a bare concrete overland flow of 3 metre wide through your site?
It's not an overflow in that area. That is just to enable the council to access the easement, unless I'm misunderstood.
Mr. Treese, would you prefer something other than a bare concrete 3 metre strip through your site?
Oh, if it wanted to be landscaping, we wouldn't have any objection. But I don't... Yeah, we wouldn't have any objection for that.
Had you thought of any acceptable solution that, when I say acceptable, something that might achieve what the council wants, that is an overland flow path, but give some sort of visual relief to that whole area, which incidentally, by the way, in one of the sections is shown as a car park area. I won't go into that now, but the question is there a landscape solution to that strip which is more attractive than the 3 metre wide concrete strip?
We haven't prepared anything because our understanding from council's point of view, that's just how they wanted.
In the event that we were to impose a condition saying that you should landscape that in a manner that is suitable to the council engineers, would you have an objection?
No.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, so I intend, in fact, to move such a resolution that, subject to agreement with council engineers, that an appropriate minimalised, it would not be a tall landscape scheme, but something that would be, might be even categorised as a rain garden or something of that sort.
We've just got to be mindful of the fact that we've also utilised that area to also give us access to the car parking from the lobby area, so it couldn't be in its entirety landscaped. Because if you look at the plans, you see there's the stairwell and the lift, as well as the garbage rooms which come off that area.
From the car parking area.
So I
understand that, and that may well be a relief as well.
Yes,
you could,
but we
you can
incorporate. We can incorporate some landscaping with a path.
It would have the double benefit of increasing the aesthetic value of that ground level,
yes,
but also limiting the prospect of cars going in there for parking.
Absolutely.
So we will do such a condition.
Thank you.
Any further questions?
No,
you got any? You're all right.
Do you want me to suggest a simple condition?
Yeah, well, we better draft a condition. You want to do that now? Hold for a moment while we draft that condition. We can take an intermission if we want, because we're up to number 7.
We can do it together
as we move on, Mr. Chairman. If you could pick it back. Pick it up later on.
We'll deal with that. Does anyone want the intermission?
No.
We'll deal with that as we go along in relation to item 7 and the condition that's to be imposed in relation to that flow area, come back shortly. Which means we can move on to item 8 in the meantime, which is 392 Illawarra Road, Marrickville. And the first person to speak in this matter is Jose Moles. Mr. Moles? No, he's not here.
Landscaping subject to meeting the requirements.
All right, well, we're back to Mr. Teresi again and Mr. McCormack. I assume that's again a double act?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Similarly, we support the recommendation of approval before the council. Again, as part of the process, we did make some changes to the scheme to address the concerns of the council and a number of the objectors. As part of that process, we did engage an acoustic engineer who did actually make an acoustic assessment of the pool and its location, and basically found that there was no impact to adjoining properties. If anything, there was an impact to the development itself. And in doing so, made a recommendation to actually restrict the use of the pool between 7 and 10 p.m. And to incorporate it in the bylaws, and we're more than comfortable for that to be imposed, and we note there is a condition on the approval accordingly. It should also be noted that the pool is actually for private use. It's not actually a communal pool. And so on the basis of that, we feel that we've addressed the acoustic concerns. In terms of the pool, it's noted it's on level 4 of the building. It's actually pretty much at the same level, if not slightly higher than the ridge of the adjoining building. In the previous scheme, there was a landscape planter box in that location, and the pool's been strategically located, so landscaping still surrounds that pool. So visually, as seen from the public domain, what you will see is fundamentally what was originally approved, which is landscaping around that area. So accordingly, we feel that the application has merit, and fundamentally, if the panel's got any questions, we're more than happy to answer those.
On site today, we met with the neighbour who expressed concerns on the course of the cliff today. I think the sort of thing that was spoken was there in that manner. There are two concerns about the pool in particular. One, that there would be unnecessary noise for the tenants of his block of flats next door from people enjoying the pool area. And secondly,
Sure. In the first instance, if you look at the drawing numbers, and maybe the best is to go to the cross section, and I'll give you the drawing number, which would assist in that regard, and probably drawing number 1401. Yes, A1401. It says pool details is the drawing and has a number of cross sections